The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
And welcome to a Tuesday. I'm Nicole Sandler, coming to you live at NicoleSandler.com. The Progressive Voices Network, streaming video on Periscope, on Facebook Live, on Twitch even. But we're still, it looks like, about a month away from being able to stream live on YouTube again, just because they suck, in case you were wondering. Yes, I'm still suspended. Don't ask why. It makes no sense. But others have suggested that YouTube seems to be targeting some progressive talkers, because I'm not alone. Go talk to Hal Sparks. Anyway, that's been going on for 2 months already. I got one more month left to go. So here we go. So yesterday, I hope you heard the show, because it was a good one, right? Marcy Wheeler is just, she's a treasure. I was going to say a national treasure. She is, but she's now in Ireland. So, you know, they got that going for them. But at the end of the show, I shared with you this new story that I predicted by this time today would be blowing up. And it kind of hasn't, which is surprising. And it's the story about a former nurse at one of those DHS, ICE detention centers or concentration camps, you know, depending on how you want to look at them. I think concentration camp today is a more accurate description after what we've learned has gone on in Georgia at this place, ICDC, the Irwin County Detention Center. Now, the nurse who came forward with these allegations that some gynecologist was performing an inordinate amount of hysterectomies on these women detainees, I thought by today this story would have blown up. And it kind of hasn't. And actually, the nurse, Dawn Wooten, did a press conference. She gave us a statement. Unfortunately, the people who set it up didn't know what they were doing, and the audio was so bad on it that I really couldn't share it with you because it was outside and there was all street noises were louder than her voice. But it backs up the allegations we've heard. There is now a whistleblower's report that's been filed, not by her, but by some legal advocacy groups, I guess, on her behalf. Filed this whistleblower report documenting jarring medical neglect within the facility. Why do they use euphemisms like that? A doctor, an alleged licensed gynecologist who does not work for this concentration camp, detention center, but is a doctor off-site that they routinely use, who is performing hysterectomies on these women. They do not know why. It's just stunning. And the more I read about this, the more disgusted I get. So this nurse, again, her name is Dawn Wooten. She came up with the term, the phrase that she uses to identify this particular gynecologist, and she calls him the uterus thief or something like that. Where did I just lost it now? She's telling whoever will listen, really, that multiple women have come forward to tell her that they go to this doctor and they don't really know why, but he's taking their uteruses out. The complaint details several accounts from detainees, including one woman who was not properly anesthetized during the procedure and heard the aforementioned doctor tell the nurse he had mistakenly removed the wrong ovary, resulting in her losing all reproductive ability. Another woman, yeah, apparently there were cysts on her left ovary, and this gynecologist removed the right ovary. Then she had to go back in and have her left ovary removed. Now, if she, by some miracle, gets to go home to her husband, she has to tell him, sorry, we're not having any children. Another woman said she was scheduled for the procedure, but when she questioned why it was necessary, she was given at least three completely different answers. She was originally told by the doctor that she had an ovarian cyst and was going to have a small 20-minute procedure done, drilling three small holes in her stomach to drain the cyst. The officer who was transporting her to the hospital told her that she was having a hysterectomy to have her entire womb removed. And when the hospital refused to operate on her because her COVID-19 test came back positive for antibodies, she was transferred back to the detention center, where the nurse said that the procedure she was going to have entailed dilating her vagina and scraping tissue off. What? And yet another nurse told her that the procedure was to mitigate her heavy menstrual bleeding, which this woman had never experienced. When she explained that, the nurse, quote, responded by getting angry and agitated and began yelling at her. This is a direct quote from that whistleblower complaint. The Intercept did a story on it, and according to that article, ICE declined to comment on the allegations in the complaint. While a LaSalle Corrections spokesman, LaSalle Corrections, that's the private prison corporation that operates this detention center. I can't even believe I'm saying these words, because how disgusting is it to even, ugh. So a spokesman for this private prison corporation, LaSalle Corrections, said it was, quote, firmly committed to the health and welfare of those in our care. We are deeply committed to delivering high quality, culturally responsive services in safe and humane environments. What? I think I have a new song. Did I put it up here somewhere accessible? Let's see. I got to find where I put it. I do have a new song. Oh, and it's I can even play you the video of the people singing it. So this woman, she deserves a whole choir. Let me just tell you, she does. And so here is how the dedication goes to this LaSalle Corrections Corporation spokesperson. You ready? It deserves a big build up. This is for her.
I just need you to shut the fuck up, cause nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
And that's how it goes. It's that short and sweet. someone needs to continue the melody there. Anyway, shut the fuck up. Law and Crime, which is where I first read this article, reached out to ICE for comment. They also reached out to DHS, Office of the Inspector General, to ask whether it has received the complaint and whether it will investigate the allegations in it. And they said, we'll update if we hear anything more. There's no update. And by the way, speaking of the Office of the Inspector General of the Department for Homeland Security, I got a problem with those people, too. Let me see if I can't find this tweet I just responded to. I probably should wait for Laffy because she's the tweet king. But here it is. This from CNN. The Department of Homeland Security Inspector General has declined to investigate whether Acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf and his deputy Ken Cuccinelli are serving in their roles lawfully. So there is an allegation, a reputable allegation, that those two, the acting secretary of the Department of Homeland Security and his deputy, Ken Cuccinelli, are both serving illegally. They're unlawfully in their roles. And so the proper chain of command is it goes to the Office of the Inspector General of the Department of Homeland Security, who now has, reading it again, declined to investigate. So where do we go to next with this? Obviously, The DHS Inspector General is corrupt. Who has oversight over him? This is the problem. This is where we are, because Donald Trump, in draining the swamp, has just filled it all in at the White House and replaced the people who weren't sufficiently loyal to him with sycophants who will do his bidding. And it is astounding. I'm almost speechless. I'm almost speechless. So I don't know. I don't know where we go from there. Good question, everybody. Not that you asked, but I think now that you know, you will be, right? It's a day like that. There are all of these stories that, oh my God, you want to say, what the fuck? And yet, this is our reality today. It is September 15th, 2020. We are 7 weeks away from Election Day. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of scared. All right, I could use a little pick-me-up. So why don't we do a funny? I've got a few different ones we could play. But you know what? Let's do a new one from Lauren Mayer. Just because, you know, it's Tuesday. She does our intro for the Laffy segment. So, and her subject, this is a song that Lauren Mayer wrote the music and the lyrics to. And it's something that I talked about yesterday. It's the fact that there is no bottom to this administration. Just when you think you've hit the cellar, all of a sudden he goes even lower and we find there's at least another 10 levels down. So this song from Lauren Mayer is called Rock Bottom Has a Basement. Take it away, Lauren.
Donald Trump has been offensive ever since he's been around. So why are folks still shocked when his behavior breaks new ground? Stop wondering what his tweets about voting, mask wearing, or race meant. Apparently, rock bottom has a basement. Starting with his missing tax returns and financial self-dealing, to the way his heartless comments show an utter lack of feeling, to how his cabinet gets more grifty with each new replacement. Every day we learn rock bottom has a basement. Trump's going even lower now that polls show he may lose. So now he says his next Supreme Court justice is Ted Cruz. He's panicking as dirt comes out from each new tell-all book. So he's screwing with the mail helped by his most corrupt cabinet crook. And for that, there's stiff competition because they all deserve the hook. I could write a song about each of them. Now Trump claims preventing panic is why he did all that lying. But protests, mail-in voting, and minority neighbors are terrifying. Seems stoking racist fears his only campaign plan this autumn. Proving there's a basement to rock bottom. He cozies up to dictators and thinks they should inspire us. Turns out he both politicized and lied about the virus. Muffling the CDC as COVID cases hit a peak. And info on Russian election interference he won't seek. And that's just a fraction of the stories just this week. Plus ignoring the worst wildfires in history and suppressing intel on white supremacists. Denying the evidence that Putin poisoned Navalny. Trying to delegitimize the election, telling people to vote twice. Don't get me started on Bill Barr becoming his personal defense attorney. Not to mention all the loony stuff that makes sane people squirm. Remember bleach, hydroxychloroquine, and Dr. Demon Sperm. His vile, disgusting family who just do what he taught them. Each day Trump adds more levels to rock bottom. The GOP doesn't know the meaning of self-effacement or what dignity disappearing without a trace meant. All the nut jobs he embraces, their support it won't erase. Because apparently rock bottom has a basement.
You're listening to The Nicole Sandler Show. Network and NicoleSandler.com.
All right. Welcome back to the show. I'm Nicole Sandler. What we'll do, we've got Progressive Voices in a little break. Let's take care of a little bit of news, shall we?
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
So now we know more than 29 million people around the world have been diagnosed with COVID-19, and the global death toll stands right now at about 925,000. That means we're going to be at a million pretty soon. This is just astounding. And it just gets worse. And Bob Woodward's new book, Rage, is officially out today. And more audio recordings of Donald Trump have been released that spotlight Trump's deception regarding the severity of the virus and of COVID-19. On April 13th, the ones we heard already, we heard at the very beginning, like in February. But on April 13th, as I quickly find the place, this is what Trump told Bob Woodward.
This thing is a killer if it gets you. If you're the wrong person, you don't have a chance.
Yes, yes, exactly.
This is a monster.
This is a scourge. And
it is the plague.
Yeah, and the thing is, so that was April 13th, right? A New York Times analysis of Trump's press conference from that very same day showed, I'm reading from them, a swaggering leader who confidently predicts the death toll will easily be kept in check, even though the fatality total, which will surpass 200,000 in a few days here in the U.S., has more than doubled the estimates Trump dismissed at that point. Quote, you looked at the charts and the charts are, and the models from early on, predictions were 100,000 and 120,000 people look like. If they did, well, they were going to unfortunately perish. And we're going to be hopefully way, way below that number. So that's what he said at one of his Trump news dump events in the White House briefing room. While to Bob Woodward, he's saying, this is a real killer. You know, you're going to get it. If you get it, you know, you just might be unlucky and you're going to get it. And yet he looks straight into the camera and says, I didn't lie about anything. I didn't mislead you. Oh, no.
I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
Yeah. And according to Donald Trump, there's two modes. There's either panic. There's either calm and playing it cool or jumping up and down with your hair on fire saying everybody's going to die. It's one or the other. This is the problem with Donald Trump. Oh, by the way, there's another little piece of audio that came out. And it's from the last time, the last conversation that Trump had with Bob Woodward. He learned that the book had already been put to bed. Unfortunately, it was already off to the printers because he had another something he wanted in. It was this bullshit peace deal in the Middle East, which is no peace deal. Let me tell you, when there's no Palestinians involved, there's no peace in the Middle East. You know, I love this. They're just declaring peace with no Palestinians at the table. Right. That's worth about as much as, well, pretty much anything I have in here. Anyway, so what he said to Bob Woodward is he was, you know, trying to get something positive out of him. Woodward had already warned him it was going to be a tough book. Here's what Trump said. The man who has an excuse for everything. This is unbelievable.
Nothing more could have been done.
Well,
I acted early.
Nothing more could have been done. I acted early.
Bullshit.
Yeah. You know what? I've got another song for old Donald. And this time I won't play the video because we need to be quicker about this. And I just had it here. And here it is. Okay. You ready? You can sing along this time.
I just need you to shut the fuck up because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Bow, bow.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Bow, bow.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Bow, bow. Oh, and it cuts off like that. We gotta find a way to end it. I mean, it's brilliant as it is, right? And it's just so many uses. All right, back to the news. So Trump, you know, had enough of the COVID stuff. He decides to head out to California, which is on fire. And that's where he decided to visit yesterday. And while there, he blamed the blazes on, come on, say it with me, failed forest management. Yeah. dismissing, of course, the scientific consensus that climate change is making the region's fire season increasingly intense. So I just got to play for you this one exchange that happened at a round table. It was between Donald Trump and California's Natural Resources Agency Secretary Wade Crowfoot. Trump was lecturing the authorities on forest management and raking when Crowfoot respectfully challenged him.
From our perspective, there is amazing partnership on the ground, and there needs to be. As the governor said, we've had temperatures explode this summer. You may have learned that we broke a world record in the Death Valley, 130 degrees. But even in greater LA, 120 plus degrees. And we're seeing this warming trend make our summers warmer, but also our winters warmer as well.
Yeah.
So I think one area of mutual agreement and priority is vegetation management. But I think we want to work with you to really recognize the changing climate and what it means to our forests and actually work together with that science. That science is going to be key.
Yeah.
Because if we ignore that science and sort of put our head in the sand and think it's all about vegetation management, we're not going to succeed together protecting Californians.
Okay.
Can
you start getting cooler?
You just watch. I wish science agreed with you.
Hey, well, I don't think science knows, actually.
What? Now, if you just sort of spaced out and missed the end of that, let me play that last 30 seconds or so for you again.
It was the plague.
Oh, that was the wrong one. Because it's astounding. Here we go.
But getting cooler.
Wait, here we go.
Put our head in the sand and think it's all about vegetation management. We're not going to succeed together protecting Californians.
Okay. It'll start getting cooler.
You just watch. I wish science agreed with you.
Hey, well, I don't think science knows, actually.
It'll start getting cooler. You just watch. And Crowfoot says, I don't think science agrees with you. And Trump says, I don't think science knows, actually. Oh, my God. Denial much? So up next was California Governor Gavin Newsom. Take it away, Gav.
One thing is fundamental. 57% of the land in this state is federal forest land. 3% is California. So we really do need that support. We need that emphasis of engagement. And we are fully committed to working with you to advance that cause. And final point, I'd be negligent, and this is not, and we've known each other too long, and as you suggest, the working relationship I value. We obviously feel very strongly that the hots are getting hotter, the dries are getting drier. When we're having heat domes, the likes of which we've never seen in our history, the hottest August ever in the history of the state, the ferocity of these fires, the drought 5+ years, losing 163 million trees to that drought, something's happened to the plumbing of the world. And we come from a perspective, humbly, where we submit the science is in and observed evidence is self-evident that climate change is real.
You think?
And that is exacerbating this. And so I think there's an area of at least commonality on vegetation, forest management. But please respect, and I know you do, the difference of opinion out here as
yeah,
it relates to this fundamental issue on the issue of climate change.
Absolutely.
Appreciate Absolutely. That. And Trump sat there the whole time with his arms crossed, with that scowl on his face, and couldn't wait to move on to the next person. Now, while that was going on, Joe Biden was speaking in a field in Delaware for some reason, but he made some very good points.
Donald Trump's climate denial may not have caused these fires and record floods and record hurricanes, but if he gets a second term, these hellish events will continue to become more common, more devastating, and more deadly.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump warns that integration is threatening our suburbs. It's ridiculous. But you know what is actually threatening our suburbs? Wildfires are burning the suburbs in the West. Floods are wiping out suburban neighborhoods in the Midwest.
You go, Joe.
Hurricanes are imperiling suburban life along our coast. If we have 4 more years of Trump's climate denial, how many suburbs will be burned in wildfires? How many suburban neighborhoods will have been flooded out? How many suburbs will have been blown away
superstorms? Yeah. No shit.
To give a climate arsonist 4 more years in the White House, why would anyone be surprised if we have more America ablaze?
Good questions, all of them. And we'll continue to ask them. All right. We will.
This is a huge, huge issue. And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
All right, you do know what time it is, don't you?
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Carla Lapp on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, every Tuesday we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh, and we review the news of the day as gleaned from Laffy's very prolific Twitter feed. Well, let's see. First, we got to get her on the line. So push a few buttons here and there, even though I can see her. Hello. Oh,
you reached the. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, good. You've reached the Woodward Book Hotline.
Oh, cool. I didn't know there was one, but it's. I guess that's like the Butterball Hotline. Okay.
Okay. Press one if you think Trump agreed to talk to Bob Woodward because he always admired that Woodward knew deep throat and he wanted to know what Linda Lovelace was really like.
Yes.
Press two if you think Trump's denying the things that he said on tape. So now he's even calling himself fake news.
He should.
He should. Press three if you think the Woodward tapes aren't as big a deal as a Golden Shower sex tape. But if you listen closely, you can still hear Trump fuck himself. That last one came from Ian Hale. I adapted
really?
A little bit.
Very nice.
Yes,
that works
Twitter,
for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Woohoo.
I
mean, you and I are in the same mood. We talked earlier, and I don't know about you, but I'm not sleeping.
Oh, I don't sleep. I was telling you, I sleep for an hour and a half, wake up, I'm up for a few hours, fall back asleep for an hour and a half, I'm up for a few hours. So if you ever see me, you know, like tweeting or Facebooking or something at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, that's normal for me. So if you happen to have my phone number, just give me a call at 4. I'm usually awake.
I know I should do that. What happens with me, though, is I usually wake up for just a couple of minutes, fall back asleep, and I keep waking up. But occasionally, I'll do the thing where I wake up and I'm lying there for 2 hours going, fall fucking asleep.
Yeah,
come on,
I get up.
You can do this.
I just, you know, I get up.
You
I
just get
move
up.
Around.
If I did that, I'd be up all night.
Yeah, hello.
I have to. Yeah, well, right.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go right for the birdies because you and I have tons to talk about.
Okay.
Today.
All right.
Okay.
Somebody let loose the birdies.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
You know, before you get into the tweets, that little tweet reminded me yesterday I played the new Randy Rainbow video and I shared a video. I shared the storio about that broke about 2 or 3 weeks ago about the fact that Randy Rainbow back about 10 years ago or so had made some really horrible comments on Twitter in the form of jokes. I guess he was starting out as a comedian. He thought they were funny. He was trying to emulate shock jocks and it wasn't funny. It was offensive. It was ugly. It was homophobic. It was transphobic. It was anti-Semitic in some places. It was, I mean, and he is some of those things. He is a gay man. He is a Jew. So that made it just nonsensical. Well, to his credit, he responded. He's like, I'm mortified. I'm embarrassed. I did say those things. I was trying something that obviously was not a good thing. And I apologize. I mean, he said everything right. And so I played his bit yesterday, which I still found funny. Most of the people who weighed in the various chat rooms on Facebook Live and in Twitch and those places also said, yeah, you know, give the guy another chance. I did get one email from a listener named Amber who said she's not angry with me, just disappointed, and rattled off a number of legitimate reasons why I should not be giving him, you know, my laughs and attention. But we talked about it, look, in the wake of the Michael Jackson allegations where his victims did come forward and say, yeah, he was a pedophile. Yes, he had his way with me. at first I'm like, ugh, I can't listen to that anymore. But you know what? I listen to his music. Ryan Adams, whose music I love. And after the stories about him and the way he treated his now ex-wife, Mandy Moore, and other women who came to him for mentoring and recording help. And I, for a while, I couldn't listen to him either. But you know what? I listened to the music. I watch Woody Allen movies. I watched Rosemary's Baby. Do you stop appreciating the art of somebody because you don't like something they said or did or continue to say or do? I think with me, if they continued to be that way, I would have no use for them. But someone who has at least apologized and made a good faith effort in trying to atone for their bad ways and admit they did something wrong, I kind of feel like it's not... to write them off for something they did 10 or 20 years ago is wrong, but I'm sure there are ways in which I'm a hypocrite because there are, obviously it depends on who the person is. I don't know. I'm talking in circles.
I know. I mean, like we talked about this a little bit, you and me, having done comedy on stage mm-hmm. for years from like way back, way before the 90s, there was a lot of humor that was acceptable then. And, mm-hmm. and I think I mentioned to you that All in the Family would not be on the air today if,
that's
if
right.
it was pitched. The networks would look at them and say, are you out of your mind? No. And a lot of the humor was accepted. I'm not saying it's acceptable. I'm just saying people just laughed, you know, and there were a lot of people who were trying to make their names as comedians who would use shock value as a way to get known. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at, oh my God, I'm terrible at names. I'm not even going to try to remember okay. the comedian's name, but there's a couple of comedians that come to mind that were, I mean, totally offensive, misogynistic. I just, you know, and now, you know, looking back, they'd go, oh my God, I would never say that now. So I think it depends. First of all, Randy was so contrite.
Yep.
And
he didn't
qualify his apology at all.
No. And he dealt yeah. with it in the new video, the one, I won't vote Trump. I won't.
Right.
But
that
the
was
interview
awesome.
Piece at the beginning was mm-hmm. all about his mea culpa. It's like, yeah, I fucked yeah. up. I really, you know, sometimes you do things that are just wrong. You know, he was trying to deal with it in the way he does what he does. So,
mm-hmm. well, you know, I mean, there are certain people, I guess I don't want to ever see their or hear their stuff again just because I can't stand them.
Yeah.
Never liked them to begin with. So maybe that was it. But I just found out about the Randy thing today. So I was like, you know, scurrying around trying to figure out what it was about. But like he said, he was never a racist. Andrew Dice Clay. Thank you, Francie. Uh-huh. And he said, I was never a racist. I was never.
No, he was just a sexist pig.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, Randy. Got it.
Yeah. But I intentionally created a character at that time trying to figure out what kind of comedy I was going to do. So I would say things that were shocking.
Uh-huh.
On purpose, knowing I was saying things that were shocking.
Sure, right.
So I can understand that in his case, no, that's not who he is. That's who he portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Carol O'Connor was not a racist in
right.
real life. He was a liberal. So I take it case by case. It's hard for me to watch Woody Allen now, but, I do appreciate the art that people give us. And I look back on it nostalgically and I try to move on.
Yeah. But, David just handed me a note that says Blazing Saddles. Oh my God.
Yes.
I tried to watch it with my kid, I don't know, a couple of years ago and was astounded at like how uncomfortable it made me feel. And I realized you could never make Blazing Saddles today. You could not.
Right.
And a lot of it is just, it's not funny given today's constraints.
Right.
But that Blazing Saddles was one of the funniest movies ever.
Well, it's just like in the old Shirley Temple movies. Think back, way back.
Uh-huh.
She used to, there were, she'd dance with
Bojangles. She'd dance with an old black man.
Right. And they were always in subservient positions, but they uh-huh. were always her friend.
Yep.
And today we wouldn't do that. But then, you know, everybody accepted that and went, oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
So, you know, anyway, I'm going to start with tweets because we have so many.
Yes. Okay.
Tweet. All right. So what's this? Oh, this is a whole conversation. This is a DM. I'm not going to read you that.
From who?
That would be silly.
From who?
From our buddy Sue.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
About her daughter.
Gotcha.
Okay, so this is kind of silly. This is from Politico. Silly, yeah. That's the wrong word. It's embarrassing and stupid. Okay. Trump, there was a Trump ad that asked people to support the troops, but instead it used a picture of Russian jets. And it used, it said, support the troops using stock photo of Russian-made yes. fighter jets and Russian models dressed as soldiers. And their guns, apparently, were Russian guns.
Yes, everything. This is aspirational stuff on Trump's part. It's what he wishes he was. Right.
I think you're right. So that was embarrassing and stupid as usual. And odd that it would, of course, be Russia. He didn't use Chinese troops. He didn't use Czechoslovakia. I don't know. Or French. For that matter.
Uh-huh.
Or English.
Right.
Yep. Hello.
Yep.
So, yeah, just had to pass that on because they're such idiots.
I gotcha.
And they got caught again and they don't care. Okay. So, Aaron Rupar, on Twitter, he's A.T. Rupar.
Yes.
He's awesome. He does live. I don't know how he does it so fast, but he gets video clips up instead
really
of live
quickly.
Tweeting.
He's great.
Live videos.
Yes.
Yeah, he's amazing. And plus, he does great commentary. He's
and
really
he
great.
And he posts baby pictures of his baby daughter
yes,
in the
I
middle of it all.
Her.
So
I love her so
really
much.
Really cute. Yeah.
God, I love her. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he tweeted a clip and he said, Trump campaign spokesperson Aaron Perrine on Trump tossing out baseless accusations that Joe Biden is doing drugs. Quote, the president is asking questions and Joe Biden should answer them. So Parker Malloy,
yes.
who's with Media Matters, says, meanwhile, Trump got confused at his rally last night and said that Biden won a Nobel Prize. But sure.
You know, the other thing, he went on and on about the media, the fake news didn't cover that I was nominated. Anybody can be fucking nominated. Nominations are never covered because right. lots of people are nominated. It's not
and look
a
who
thing.
Nominated him.
Right. Some right wing white supremacist from Sweden. They just have to be part of a group of people who can nominate. But anybody can be nominated. It's not a thing that the news ever reports on. Oh, except if it's Donald Trump because he wants to make it a news item.
He's dying to get a Nobel,
oh my God.
As he called it, a Nobel Prize.
Yes.
All right. So you did a really good job of explaining that whole whistleblower complaint about the hysterectomies, the forced hysterectomies. It was written up in a number of places. And I'm sure it's going to blow up on the TV news pretty soon. They can't avoid it because, first of all, it was in a Georgia paper and they published the PDF of the complaint. So
right.
it's for realsies. It's not a fake thing. It's some people were questioning me on Twitter. Are you sure this is real? Yeah, it's real. But the way I know it's going to blow up is because both Ayanna Pressley and Nancy Pelosi have said they're going to look into it. Here's the tweet from Ayanna Pressley. Horrific. Forced sterilization is a cruel tool of white supremacy with a long abominable history in this country. We need a congressional investigation into these heinous human rights abuses immediately. And Pelosi said something to the effect of, wow, if this is real, yeah, we're looking into this one. So it will blow up. It's a
I
matter
hope so.
Of how
I'm just
and when.
Astounded when I read this at, you know, during the show yesterday and closed out the show with it. I'm thinking by tomorrow at this time, this is going to be the killer story. This is what's going to knock
right.
Donald Trump and the, you know, all the Woodward allegations off the front page. And it
I thought
hasn't.
So too.
This is straight out of Mengele's playbook.
Yeah.
This is, you
well,
know.
Here's what Elie Mystal has to
yeah.
say. This is a whole different take on it.
Okay.
A whole different take.
Okay.
This was yesterday when it broke and we were both going nuts. And he said, and this is a little run of a little thread. I have a theory of why the mainstream press won't push stories about inhumane treatment in ICE facilities and the like. It's because when you write those stories and really report out the details and wrestle with them, you're left with the conclusion that Trump supporters are evil. And he put those in little asterisk thingies.
Uh-huh.
And the mainstream press doesn't like painting Trump supporters as evil because they're fellow whites. So they have to be dumb
oh
or duped or
God.
Aggrieved or misled, but they can't be evil because
oh
if they're
God.
Evil, then the press has to wrestle with the fact that their racist family members are also evil. Some of their colleagues are evil and they'd have to atone for their professional help in promoting evil through their massive But Her Emails campaign. They can't do that. They can't look at themselves in the mirror that harshly for that long. And do they I think he meant, and so they'd rather talk about Russia or whatever he said on Twitter. Mm-hmm. They can't look at what Trump is doing in concentration camps because then they'd have to look at themselves. Wow. And he got a lot of good feedback on this. It's just a different take. It's just, you know, from a different perspective. And I think it has some merit.
Okay. Yeah.
Not in every case. I just think in some cases it has some merit.
Yep. Okay. I hear you.
He's a smart guy. He has he's been very tuned into that.
Yeah.
Recently.
Well, I like Ellie Mistal. I love Ellie.
Well, I know you do. Yeah. I know you do. I'm just saying that for the benefit of everybody.
Okay.
Rude Pundit had a fun one.
Okay.
So the recount, first they tweeted, President Trump, oh, I hate using those words together. At today's wildfire briefings, the thing that you said, it'll start getting cooler. You just watch. And then the other guy, you know, Wade Crowfoot said, I wish science agreed with you. And he said, well, I don't think science knows actually. So the Rude Pundit said, science, watching from its living room, said, yeah, I do know actually. That's why I'm science, motherfucker.
I like that. That one worked for me.
It's rude. Mm-hmm. Rude's so good.
That one worked for me.
I'm getting through these faster than I thought.
That's okay.
I would, so
good.
We'll
I've
have time.
Got stuff too. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, so Tommy Christopher tweeted over Tommy Christopher. So first Tommy Christopher said, he's from Mediaite. He said, okay, I'll just read you it. He said, holy shit, did Trump just spill a secret deal with Fox News? Trump, and this is him calling into Fox yesterday.
Yeah, oh yeah.
This morning.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, whenever it was. We're going to do it every week, every Monday, I think they said.
Right.
He has that capped, right?
Uh-huh.
I'll read it and then go ahead and play it after.
Go ahead.
And then Ducey says Fox is not committed to that. We'll take it on a case-by-case basis. And then Tommy Christopher says, would that be an in-kind campaign contribution? And then he says, as Aaron Rupar points out, Kilmeade had quite the reaction, a dead giveaway, that this disclaimer was a Band-Aid to cover Fox's ass. Trump ratted out the network. This is an in-kind campaign contribution.
It absolutely
now you want to hear
is.
The context, yeah,
and I've got the video. So for anybody watching on Periscope or Facebook or Twitch, which is where we're streaming now, you'll see, and I don't know their names. I guess the guy on the right, the dark-haired guy, is Ducey, and the other guy is
Kilmeade.
Kilmeade. Okay, so Kilmeade's the one who said, we haven't confirmed that or anything like that, right? Ducey's the dark-haired guy?
Ducey said Fox is not committed to that.
Oh, okay, so it's the other way around. See, it shows. And Kilmeade
had quite the reaction, a dead giveaway, he said.
Ah, okay, so Ducey's the doofus. I gotcha.
Yeah,
okay,
I don't know which is which, to be honest. I don't know which is the blonde and which is
right.
The dark haired.
So Ducey's the dark haired guy and the other one. Okay. So here's for those watching. Here's the video for everybody else. You'll hear it. You'll hear it.
Yeah. Mr. President, I think you broke a lot of news this morning. Thank you very much for starting your day with Fox and Friends.
Thank you.
Okay. It's been great.
We'll do it every week. We're going to do it every week.
I look forward to it. Yeah, we're going to do it every week. Every Monday, I think they said. And if we can't do it on a Monday, we'll do it on a Tuesday like we did today.
Sounds good.
Mr. President, thank you very much. You may want to do it every week, but Fox is not committed to that. We're going to take it on a case-by-case basis. And Joe Biden, as well, is always welcome to join us for 47 minutes like we just did with the president.
Joe Biden as well is welcome to join us for 47 minutes like we just had with the president covering his ass, as you just said. The look on his face. And actually, so if that was Kilmeade, Ducey's the one who said it. We're going to do this every week, I guess. And Trump said, And Trump said, oh, yeah, every Monday. And so apparently
I think they said that was the key to Tommy Christopher. He capitalized the words they said. In other words, it was already a done deal.
Yeah.
And he let it slip that they said that they'd have him on every week.
Yep. And so Kilmeade tried to put a Band-Aid on it and say, not necessarily. We'll take it 1 week at a time. And by the way, the offer is extended to Joe Biden, too. Sure it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll keep Joe Biden on there for 47 minutes and let him ramble on the way Trump did. Sure. Oh,
of course they would.
Of course
they'd
will.
Shut him up in 2 seconds and start talking about Burisma.
Yeah.
And Hunter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh, and Hillary and Obama. They wouldn't let him get two words in, and they'd be doing all kinds of little gotcha gaslighting thingies.
Would.
And oh, God. Anyway, I couldn't hear your tape, of course.
Oh,
so
right.
That's why I wanted to read it so I could understand what I was saying.
Gotcha. Yeah, okay. I forget. Yeah.
And that's okay. What's this? Oh, okay. So we've heard that there was a patient or a subject who took the vaccine by AstraZeneca that had a reaction, right?
Right.
And they were saying they're going back now. They're restarting the trials. Well, this hasn't gotten any attention, but it was on the CNN website.
Yeah.
That the National Institute of Health is very concerned, in quotes, about serious side effect in the AstraZeneca coronavirus vaccine trial. And it goes on to say, the Food and Drug Administration, Trump's FDA, is weighing whether to follow British regulators in resuming a coronavirus vaccine trial that was halted when a participant suffered spinal cord damage, even as the NIH, National Institutes of Health, has launched an investigation of the case. The highest levels of NIH are very concerned, Dr. Avindra Nath, intramural clinical director and leader of viral research at the NIH Neurological Disorders and Stroke and NIH division. Everyone's hopes are on a vaccine, and if you have a major complication, the whole thing could get derailed. A great deal of uncertainty remains about what happened to the unnamed patient, to the frustration of those avidly following the progress of vaccine testing. AstraZeneca, which is running the global trial of the vaccine it produced with Oxford University, said the trial volunteer recovered from a severe inflammation of the spinal cord and is no longer hospitalized.
Scary.
That's creepy, right?
That's very scary.
AstraZeneca has not confirmed that the patient was afflicted with transverse myelitis, but Noth and another neurologist said they understood this to be the case. Transverse myelitis produces a set of symptoms involving inflammation along the spinal cord that can cause pain, muscle weakness, and paralysis. Britain's regulatory body, the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, reviewed the case and has allowed the trial to resume in the United Kingdom. Anyway, it goes on and on, but it doesn't sound so dismissive as we thought.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if there's going to be any follow-up on that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because when I heard that they had resumed the trial, I thought they had deduced that this side effect was not as a result of the vaccine, that maybe this patient had some underlying something and it was going to happen. This casts a whole new light on the subject, which is,
it does. And you know what else it tells me, that no one else is talking about it, that it's being kept quiet.
Yeah.
You know, so that we're all happy and the stock market stays up.
Well, then that's always Trump's underlying thing. As long as the stock market's happy, he's happy because he thinks that's an indicator of the economy, and it is not. Exactly. It is not. But
I don't own stock.
Nor do I. The AstraZeneca trial, though, that's the Oxford trial. This has been going on for a long time. They started this Oxford development of this vaccine, I guess, right when the virus first hit. This is the most advanced of them. And I thought, with my, you know, very layman's knowledge, I don't know much about any of it, but it seemed to be the most advanced, the most, further along. And now this is frightening. And with Trump keeping saying, oh, it'll be here by election day. It'll be here by a day, you know. Well,
he said in a few weeks. That's right. He just said that. And then doctors on TV, of course, were saying, no, he's full of shit.
That's right.
So, I mean, that was today. I heard one of the experts that you always see saying, no.
Yeah.
No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I listened to Fauci. And you know what? Fauci's like, even if there may be one approved by the end of the year, even if it's not going to be in widely distributed enough to make any kind of difference until the end of next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And also, I, as much as I like Fauci and have more faith in him than other people, he did kowtow to Trump a couple of times.
He did.
So
you're right.
I'm not 100% on him either.
No, he does. It's like he's afraid to stand up, although he finally did.
Yeah, I saw that.
Other day. When Trump said, oh, we've rounded the corner.
Yeah,
and Fauci
said, no,
we have not. He flat out contradicted him. And that's what I needed to hear.
Yeah, I did too. So, okay, so I'm going to read you these two tweets from Trump, and then I hope I can get back to my one that I had.
Okay.
Trump. I'm just going to read it in my own voice because I hate him. According to press reports, Iran may be planning an assassination or other attack against the United States in retaliation for the killing of terrorist leader Soleimani, which was carried out for his planning a future attack, murdering U.S. troops, and the death and suffering.
Can we make requests
so
for who they go after? Sorry. I don't know that was a bad taste.
And then he goes, any attack by Iran in any form against the United States will be met with an attack on Iran that will be 1,000 times greater in magnitude. Okay.
I think I have a new fuck you song, but I'm getting damn close to pushing that button again.
Okay, let me know because I won't hear it. Okay, so then angrier White House staff says the president of the United States just cited press reports as a source for a highly sensitive intelligence matter that should have come from his daily brief that he doesn't read. Mm-hmm. All right, there's more. Then Dylan Matthews, who you said is from Vox.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not a foreign affairs expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I feel like you might not want to publicly announce the assassinations of heads of states you ordered and then called off. And then I think, do I have one more on this?
Well, there is one more that showed Donald Trump denying that report some months ago.
Jeremy Diamond said. Trump in 2008. Oh, this is about Syria.
Right.
Syria.
Because exactly. This story was reported on in, I believe, in Woodward's first book, and Donald Trump called it fake news.
It's Trump says he wanted to assassinate Syria's Assad, but Mattis opposed it, confirming a piece of reporting from 2018. And Jeremy Diamond goes on, Trump in 2018. Not at all. The book is fiction, Trump said. I heard somewhere where they said the assassination of President Assad by the United States never even discussed. It was never even contemplated, nor would it ever be contemplated.
Yeah. Right. You know what Trump is? He's a... I have all these lie things hanging around because Trump is such a fucking liar. I thought I'd put them to use here. Yeah.
So that's Trump being an asshole again. That's all I've got on that.
That's
one,
all you got.
That's all I got on that particular one. Okay. Then I've got a fun one.
Okay.
Well, fun for us. There's a state representative from Spokane, Jenny Graham, state representative, a Republican. And let's see if I can get my thread up. Okay. A Washington state representative dialed the phone of, this is from Oliver Darcy, by the way.
Okay.
Dialed the phone of a local reporter. I'm sorry. I got all choked up over this and called him a cocksucker and a lying piece of shit, among other things, after he published a story about her linking to conspiracy theories on Facebook. The voicemail is available, by the way. You can hear it. Excuse me. I'm coughing my head off.
It's the smoke.
But she does say that it is. I've been coughing for days. She gets real frustrated with him, and she kind of under her breath, cocksucker. But she also said it louder a second time, and she did call him. She yelled, "Lying piece of shit!" On the tape.
Oh my god.
So on my Twitter feed, you can find the link. I think it's in the Inlander. Let me see if this is correct. It's on the Inlander. Inlander.com and just search Representative Jenny Graham and you'll find the tape. It was nasty. It wasn't nice.
Okay.
Daniel, you lying piece of shit, she says on the voicemail. You've done it. You've started it. Don't you ever call me again. Do you understand? Don't you ever. And you tell your buddies not to call me either. It's on. If you think for 1 minute you're going to pull this crap and you're going to walk away from it, you are nuts.
Here you go.
Oh, good.
Daniel, you lying piece of shit. You've done it. You have started it. Don't you ever call me again.
Ooh.
You understand? Don't you ever.
I hear her waving her finger.
Tell your buddies not to call me either. It's on. If you think for 1 minute that you're going to pull this crap and you're going to walk away from it, you're nuts.
Okay. That it?
And there's a long pause.
Yeah, I hear. She didn't
really
hang up.
Really long pause.
She didn't. Yep. Yeah, she didn't hang up.
She jumps in again a little later.
All right. Well, that's enough of her.
Yeah. It's all she does is say cocksucker. I mean, you know. You've heard that
Lovely.
Before.
So she's a sitting member of Congress, huh?
State.
Oh, she's a state representative. Gotcha. Yeah, okay.
In Spokane.
Oh, gotcha.
Anyway, isn't she nice? Okay. So here's a little thread on Kushner.
Okay.
On Jared. A group of tenants filed a lawsuit accusing Kushner companies of illegally collecting rent and creating dangerous living conditions by failing to maintain working fire sprinkler systems in 4 New York City apartment buildings. Tenants in Kushner Village in the East Village neighborhood of
Manhattan. Kushner Village.
Kushner Village. want a state judge to block Kushner companies from collecting rent and force it to complete work on sprinklers and other fire safety measures. I'm more concerned about a fire starting now than I used to be, one tenant said. They allege Kushner companies reps have representatives have badgered tenants for rent payments despite COVID-19 raging at the time. They allege that they used tactics that, quote, were intended to and did scare tenants of subject buildings into paying rent that was legally not collectible during the epidemic. Tenants also allege that the construction of the penthouses has made it hazardous for tenants living in the building, causing cracks in walls and ceilings and leaks that have led to mold and mildew.
Lovely.
And then I have one more.
Okay.
One more.
That's although I do hear that Jared was on CNN with the Blitz this afternoon. And I think it was Digby who wrote Blitz is just letting him get away with lie after lie after lie.
Always.
Don't get it.
I give up on our media. It's just pointless. Mm-hmm. Ned Price. Mm-hmm. Remember Ned Price? Mm-hmm. He's he was national security
spokesman.
He says, as Trump boasts that he's ending America's wars, you know, President Pacifist, right? We learned today alone that he sought to assassinate a Middle Eastern leader and expand U.S. airstrikes into Kenya. That's on top of the fact that far from draw down American forces, he's deployed even more to the Middle East.
Again, fucking man lies about every goddamn thing. You know, I think it's a mental issue. He can't speak without lying. Here's the tweet from Digby. Wolf just letting Jared Kushner lie and lie and lie and lie right now. It's just exhausting.
It is exhausting. And that's mm-hmm. what they want.
Yep.
Only, you know what? We may be exhausted, but we're not that exhausted,
right?
And we're fighting hard, and we will fall and collapse once January is on us, and that we have a new president.
Absolutely,
because he's threatening insurrection.
Yep, yeah.
What's his name? Caputo. Is he the one that?
Yes, that's Caputo, who is now a spokesman at DHS, and it looks like he's going to take a leave for mental health issues. Well, he had the mental health issues before he ever took that job, by the way. One more thing that we didn't mention is, for some reason, Nancy Pelosi went on Jim Kramer's show. He's on CNBC for some reason. Yeah. And I'm just going to play the audio so you can hear it here. So this makes no sense at all. Here's the exchange.
I mean, what deal can we have, Crazy Nancy? I'm sorry. That was the president. I have such reverence for the office, I would never use that term. But it is hard.
But you just did. But you just did.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean. The reverence I have for the office is so great.
Oh, that's bullshit. I'm sorry. The reverence you have for the office is great, so you repeat some bullshit insult name that he uses? Oh, damn it.
Bullshit.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Really? I don't know. That's the only clip I heard, so I didn't hear the rest of it. Nancy Pelosi should have told him to go fuck yourself. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Sorry.
She should have walked off.
She should have walked off.
Put her mask back up that matches her outfit, which I love.
Every day.
She should have walked off every day.
And apparently he apologized again at the end. It just came out of his mouth too easily, and he was too quick to apologize. It was like it was planned.
Yeah. It's almost like it was planned. And he blaming Trump?
Yeah. Oh, I have
Trump
such reverence. I have such reverence for the office. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm sorry. We need to hear the song, because this is for Jim Cramer. There we go.
I need you to shut the fuck up, because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
We're done. Bye.
Bye.